You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I have just chaired a meeting of the Cabinet where we agreed that the government should call a general election to be held on the 8th of June. I want to explain the reasons for that decision. At this moment of enormous national significance, there should be unity here in Westminster. But instead, there is division. The country is coming together, but Westminster is not. Our opponents believe, because the government's majority is so small, that our resolve will weaken and that they can force us to change course. They are wrong. They underestimate our determination to get the job done. And I am not prepared to let them endanger the security of millions of working people across the country. Because what they are doing jeopardises the work we must do to prepare for Brexit at home. And it weakens the government's negotiating position in Europe.
Mr. Evans, the Conservatives have pretty much shot themselves in the foot here, haven't they?
No, we shot ourselves in the head. It wasn't the foot. The campaign was going swimmingly well till we launched our manifesto.
So, UK elections, they happened. Things happened. What happened?
Well, so the final tally, if we're just talking popular vote, is Conservatives 42%, Labour 40%, Lib Dems 7%, Scottish National Party 3%, and the Democratic Unionist Party 0.9%. However, because it's not proportional representation like you have in, say, New Zealand, the Conservatives and the DUP will be able to govern with a majority of about 3 seats. Now, there's been a lot of uncertainty about this in the Conservative Party because they have spent quite a lot of time modernising their image, trying to make themselves look like a modern party with social attitudes. David Cameron famously legalising same-sex marriage took a fairly open approach to climate change, unlike, say, the Republican Party. But now, of course, they've got to do a deal with the DUP if they want to stay in power. They had put out an agreement saying that there was a deal. The DUP then came out and said there isn't a deal.
Oof,
and then, yeah,
drama.
And of course, talks were then put on hold on Sunday because the DUP, being such a sort of religiously based party, doesn't do business on a Sunday.
Right.
In fact, they famously used to lock up playgrounds on Sundays because children ought to be in church. But anyway, so I thought this would also just be a good thing just to do a bit of history of the DUP and sort of North Ireland. So obviously it's quite a conflict heavy place compared to the rest of England or Great Britain, whatever you want to call it. So the DUP represents people who want to keep North Ireland as part of Great Britain or the United Kingdom, as opposed to nationalists such as Sinn Féin who want to join the Republic of Ireland, which is its own separate deal. So this was the basis for the Troubles, a sort of ongoing conflict in the late 20th century, and paramilitaries on both sides, such as the Ulster Volunteer Force and for the North Irish, or the various IRAs, various IRAs, all different names. So while violence has not completely ceased, it has died down a lot due to the peace process, agreements such as the Belfast Agreement towards the end of the 20th century. And while both the DUP and Sinn Féin do have their historic links to paramilitaries, they did together establish a power-sharing coalition after around 2006. So it shows that at least they can form a government and not be constantly trying to kill each other.
Right. So what does it... No, you got some more?
However, just one final thing with the coalition between DUP and Sinn Féin is it has actually collapsed this year, not by any sort of sectarian conflict, but this renewable heat incentive, which effectively would subsidise businesses who use these wood pellets. And the wood pellets, they're better than just burning wood or coal or oil or whatever. So it's not a terrible idea. However, in North Ireland, there wasn't a cap to it. So pretty much people would just burn as much as they wanted, and they would just be making money by just burning these things. Originally, it was planned to cost around £15 million. Eventually, it blew out to £50 million. As people took advantage, there was a famous case of someone just heating an empty shed just for the money that it would make. Now, this took place under the DUP's Arlene Foster, who was then the Minister for Enterprise and Investment and is now the party's leader, and it said that she would repeatedly ignore whistleblowers who said there was fraud taking place, with a former MP, DUP MP, Jonathan Bell, saying two of her special advisers within the party had close connections to people who were profiting from this incentive. One of them has actually admitted that, although he sort of tried to fudge it a bit. So it does seem that there is something here. If it does come out that these MPs did know something was going on that was fraudulent, this could trigger by-elections and jeopardise the three-seat majority of the Conservative Party, which would then trigger another election because you need to have a majority.
Yeah, so I just see this election as riddled with great irony. I mean, 6 weeks ago, people were generally expecting every party except Labour and the Scottish National Party to gain seats. They were expecting Corbyn to resign in the wake of the election loss, but here's what really happened. Theresa May campaigned on a promise of strong and stable government, but now is having to form a shaky partnership of sorts with the Democratic Unionist Party, and she will most likely either have to resign in the next few weeks or face a leadership challenge. And then we've got the Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron. He barely held on to his seat, and former Liberal Democrat leader and former Deputy Prime Minister Ned Clegg, who actually did lose his seat. Angus Robertson, the leader of the parliamentary SNP, lost his seat to the Tories, and Alex Salmond, former SNP leader, also lost his seat. So, with most irony, Jeremy Corbyn is the only major party leader whose leadership is really secure. Hopefully we'll see the Labour Party falling in line behind Corbyn's leadership, and at the end of the day it appears that a large portion of the UK public thought that Jeremy Corbyn actually was electable, despite the media's condemnation of him and the Tory condemnation.
It'll definitely be interesting to see what happens. So do you know of like a timeline when people will know for sure?
Know for sure what, that there is a government or that there will be another election?
I mean, either.
Well, I'd say the negotiations are ongoing. The DUP apparently has a list of 45 demands. People would speculate that it'll probably be mainly sort of just wanting more money, not like saying they want to kill a bunch of Catholics. It'll be fairly moderate demands that the Conservative Party will not feel too bad about giving, because there had been concerns that they would try to sort of roll back various conservative things. But it seems that they are going to concentrate on the money. They've got their list of demands. I would just say, probably talking about the sort of the three-seat majority, I would say a bigger challenge to that could also come from inside the Conservative Party itself, because the Conservatives have 318 MPs. So that is 318 individual people, all with their own private lives, and who knows what they're doing. So it could come out, one of them's had an affair or committed a crime. He might have to step, or she might have to stand down, triggering a by-election.
Right.
If Labour wins at least three, or if someone not the Conservatives wins at least three of these by-elections, then there will have to be another election.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.